Welcome back, everybody. Today we're doing a deep dive into gut microbiota and how it causes inflammation in the body.
Right.
You sent over some interesting research for this one.
Yeah.
Including a really cool review
yes.
from the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get too far,
okay.
Did you know that you have about as many bacterial cells in your gut?
Oh, wow.
As human cells in your entire body.
It's true.
Wow.
It's pretty wild. We're talking trillions of microorganisms here.
Oh, my gosh.
Most of them, bacteria living in your digestive tract.
Really?
And they're not just there for the ride either. Oh. They have a huge impact on your health.
I believe
it. In ways you might not realize.
Okay, that's a little creepy, but also fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm picturing this little world.
Yeah.
Just bustling with activity.
Uh-huh.
So where do they all come from?
Well,
do we inherit them at birth?
Yeah, birth is definitely a key factor.
Okay.
The way you're born actually influences the initial composition of your gut microbiota.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
The connection between birth and bacteria.
So babies born vaginally, they inherit a different set of microbes from their mothers than those born by C-section.
Interesting.
And this early difference, it can impact the development of the immune system.
Ah.
And it might even play a role in allergies and infections later in life.
So right from the start, our gut microbiome is being shaped.
Exactly.
What else plays a role?
Well,
I'm guessing diet.
Diet's a big one.
Okay.
It's a major architect of your gut microbiota.
I knew it.
The food you eat nourishes you.
Right.
But also trillions of microbial residents.
Oh, gosh.
So different foods favor different bacteria.
So what I eat determines who thrives in my gut.
Pretty much.
This is making me rethink my lunch.
Well, think of it this way.
Okay.
A meat-heavy diet.
Yeah.
It tends to favor bacteroid species.
Bacteroids.
Yeah. But plant-based diets, which are rich in fiber.
Right.
Those favor Prevotella species.
So you're saying my veggie burgers are actually good for my gut.
You could say that.
Awesome.
Now, there's also the Western diet.
Yeah.
Which is high in saturated fats and low in fiber.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And studies have linked it to an increase in certain bacteria, like bacteroids and Bilophila, which have been associated with inflammation.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So what I eat has a direct impact.
Yep.
What about aging?
Oh, yeah.
Does our gut change over time?
Absolutely. Yeah. It shifts throughout your life.
Oh, so?
Well, the core types of bacteria stay pretty consistent. But their proportions change.
Okay.
And that's likely due to hormones, environmental factors, and changes in immune function.
So the demographics of our gut are constantly evolving.
That's a great way to put it.
What about genes? Do they affect our gut bacteria?
Host genetics do play a role in shaping diversity and structure, but it's not the dominant factor. Some gene variants have been linked to specific bacteria. And even disease risk.
So it's nature and nurture.
Yeah.
Genes and lifestyle.
Pretty much.
I talked about birth mode, diet, and age.
Right.
What else affects the balance of our gut bacteria?
Another critical factor is antibiotic use.
Oh, yeah. Antibiotics?
They're essential.
Sure.
But they can disrupt the balance of your gut.
I've always wondered about that.
Yeah.
How do they impact the gut?
Well, antibiotic use, especially broad-spectrum antibiotics, they can wipe out a wide range of bacteria.
Okay.
Both good and bad.
Oh, no.
And that leads to what's called gut dysbiosis.
Dysbiosis.
It's an imbalance in the community.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it can increase your vulnerability to infections.
Really?
Yeah, because the beneficial bacteria that keep bad bacteria in check are diminished.
So it's like weakening your defenses.
Exactly.
Wow.
Dysbiosis has also been linked to metabolic problems. There's even a study that found a link between early life antibiotic use in males.
Yeah. And higher BMI in childhood.
That's a pretty big deal.
It is.
So we've established that the gut microbiota is this complex world.
Yes.
Influenced by all sorts of things.
Right.
But why should we care so much about these microbes?
Good question.
What's the connection to inflammation?
Well, the gut microbiota isn't just hanging out in your gut.
Oh.
It actively interacts with your immune system.
Okay.
And it plays a role in both stimulating and suppressing inflammation.
A dual role. So it's like this microbial balancing act.
Precisely.
Wow.
It can produce substances that either fuel inflammation or help keep it under control.
And what are these substances?
One key player is dietary fiber.
Okay.
Our bodies can't fully digest it.
Right.
But certain gut bacteria can.
Okay.
And they break it down into short-chain fatty acids, or SCFAs.
SCFAs.
Some of those SCFAs, like butyrate.
butyrate.
They have anti-inflammatory effects.
Oh, okay.
But others can actually contribute to inflammation.
So it's a complex interplay.
With some bacteria acting as allies against inflammation.
Uh-huh.
And others fanning the flames.
You got it.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Tell me more about how these microbes interact with our immune system.
Okay.
And how that contributes to inflammation.
All right. So remember how we were talking about certain bacteria having components that trigger inflammatory responses?
Yeah.
One of those is lipopolysaccharide.
Lipopolysaccharide.
Or LPS for short.
Okay, LPS.
It's found in the cell walls of some bacteria.
Okay.
And when it leaks from the gut into the bloodstream, it acts like a key fitting into a lock.
Okay.
Setting off a cascade of inflammatory reactions.
Sounds like a microbial alarm.
Yeah, exactly.
Alerting our immune system.
Got it. Something's wrong.
Got it.
LPS binds to a receptor on immune cells called TLR4.
TLR4.
Which activates the production of inflammatory molecules.
So it flips a switch.
Pretty much.
That kickstarts inflammation.
Exactly.
Okay, you also mentioned that some short-chain fatty acids,
right,
SCFAs, can have anti-inflammatory effects.
Yes.
How does that work?
That's where things get interesting.
Okay.
One of those good guy SCFAs is butyrate.
Butyrate.
It's produced by beneficial bacteria.
Okay.
Like Faecalibacterium prausnitzii.
Faecalibacterium prausnitzii.
When they ferment dietary fiber,
okay,
butyrate inhibits the activity of a protein complex called NFUB.
NFE.
Which is a major player in inflammation.
So butyrate is like a countermeasure.
Yes.
Dampening the inflammatory signal.
Exactly.
Triggered by LPS.
Butyrate helps calm things down.
Right.
It also protects the gut lining itself, helping to reduce that leakage of LPS.
So increasing butyrate-producing bacteria could be a powerful tool.
Absolutely.
For reducing inflammation.
Uh-huh.
And maybe even lowering the risk of chronic diseases.
Right.
Butyrate sounds pretty important.
It is.
I wonder if we could develop targeted therapies to increase it.
That's an area of active research.
Cool.
Now let's talk about bile acids.
Bile acid.
They're essential for digesting fats.
Right.
But they also have a signaling role in the body. And get this, gut bacteria can actually modify these bile acids.
Oh, wow.
And those modified bile acids can then impact inflammation.
Wait, so bile acids help us digest fat?
Yes.
They get modified by bacteria.
Right.
And then that affects inflammation.
Exactly. It's complex, but it highlights how much our gut microbes can impact our health.
That's amazing.
One way these modified bile acids impact inflammation is through a receptor called FXR.
FXR.
Yeah. When certain modified bile acids activate FXR,
okay,
it can actually increase inflammation.
Oh, no.
There's even some evidence that FXR might be involved in obesity.
Wow. So the bile acids shaped by our gut microbes
uh-huh.
might actually contribute to weight gain.
It's an area researchers are exploring.
That's wild.
Now let's talk about C-reactive protein.
C-reactive protein or CRP.
You got it.
I know that high CRP levels can indicate inflammation.
Right.
But how do gut microbes fit into this?
Well, certain bacteria have actually been linked to lower CRP levels.
Really?
One study found that higher abundance of Phascolactobacterium was associated with lower CRP levels.
So certain bacteria might help keep CRP in check.
Exactly.
Potentially reducing inflammation.
Another example of how specific bacteria can influence these processes.
Wow.
Now let's move on to cytokines.
Cytokines, those are the signaling molecules of the immune system, right?
Yes, they are.
What role do gut bacteria play in that?
Well, cytokines are like messengers.
Okay.
Orchestrating the immune response.
Right.
And you guessed it, gut microbiota can influence their production.
Oh, wow.
Tipping the balance towards either pro or anti-inflammatory signals.
Another layer of control.
It is pretty amazing.
Fascinating.
So there are lots of different cytokines.
Mm-hmm.
But let's focus on two.
Okay.
TNF-alpha and IL-6.
TNF-alpha and IL-6.
You've heard of them?
Yeah. They're both involved in inflammation, right?
Yes. TNF-alpha is potent.
Okay.
It's been linked to insulin resistance and other metabolic issues.
Right.
And research has shown that certain bacteria can influence TNF-alpha production.
Oh, really?
Some studies suggest that higher Bifidobacterium adolescentis might be associated with lower TNF-alpha.
Bifidobacterium adolescentis.
Yeah, so we might be able to modulate it.
Uh-huh.
And its effects by promoting those bacteria.
That's interesting.
Now, IL-6 is another pro-inflammatory cytokine.
Okay.
It's implicated in conditions from insulin resistance to type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
And again, gut bacteria are involved.
So both TNF-alpha and IL-6 can negatively impact our metabolic health.
Yes.
And our gut microbes can influence their levels.
It's amazing how much power these little guys have.
It really is.
It gets even more interesting because the effects of gut bacteria on IL-6 vary depending on the type of bacteria.
Interesting.
Studies have shown that the abundance of Faecalibacterium.
Oh, well, that one again?
Yeah. Our butyrate-producing all-star.
Right.
Well, it's negatively associated with IL-6 levels.
Which makes sense.
Right, because of butyrate's anti-inflammatory properties.
So more Faecalibacterium might help lower IL-6.
Potentially.
And reduce inflammation.
Exactly. Are there any bacteria that increase IL-6, though?
That's a good question.
Well, some lactobacillus species have been positively correlated with IL-6.
So different bacteria, different effects on IL-6 levels.
Yeah, it's all about balance.
Okay.
Now let's discuss one more molecule.
Kay.
Trimethylamine N-oxide, or TMAO.
TMAO. I've heard that's linked to heart disease.
You're right.
What's the connection to our gut microbes?
So TMAO has been implicated in cardiovascular disease, especially atherosclerosis.
Mm.
Remember how we discussed that chronic inflammation can damage blood vessels?
Yes.
Well, TMAO production is influenced by gut microbes.
Really?
It's produced when they metabolize certain compounds found in red meat, fish, and eggs.
So those foods don't contain TMAO.
Right.
But they have compounds that get converted into TMAO.
By gut bacteria.
Got it.
And when TMAO levels are elevated, it contributes to inflammation and damage to blood vessels.
Which is a key factor in heart disease.
Exactly.
Okay, so TMAO, produced by gut bacteria from compounds in certain foods, can damage our blood vessels and increase the risk of heart disease.
Another example of how impactful these microbes can be.
It really is amazing.
Now let's talk about how all of this relates to specific health conditions.
Okay, so we've uncovered this link between gut microbiota, inflammation, and heart health.
Yeah.
But how does it connect to specific diseases?
Right.
Like metabolic syndrome, cancer, and inflammatory bowel disease.
Okay, so
maybe some big ones.
Yeah, let's start with metabolic syndrome.
Okay.
Which is a cluster of conditions that increase the risk of things like heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes.
Right.
And remember how we talked about LPS?
Yeah. Leaking from the gut.
Right. The inflammation is thought to be a key driver of insulin resistance.
Oh, wow.
Which is a hallmark of metabolic syndrome.
So it's not just about what we eat, but how our gut microbes process it.
Exactly.
And the signals they send out.
Exactly. Now, with cancer, the connection is still being researched, but there's growing evidence that gut dysbiosis.
Gut imbalance.
Right. That it can contribute to chronic inflammation, which can then create an environment that's favorable for tumor development.
Oh, wow.
Some studies even suggest that certain bacteria produce metabolites that promote genetic instability.
So these microbes could be influencing our cells.
It's a complex area.
Right.
But the research is pointing in that direction.
That's a little unsettling.
Yeah. And then there's inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD.
IBD.
In this case, the link to gut microbiota is maybe more obvious.
Yeah.
Since IBD involves chronic inflammation in the gut itself.
Right. It seems more direct.
Yeah. So in IBD, there's a disruption of the normal balance between the gut microbiota and the immune system.
I see.
And this can lead to an overactive immune response, resulting in that chronic inflammation in the gut lining.
And what's concerning is that IBD increases the risk of colorectal cancer.
That's right.
Likely because of that inflammation.
Exactly.
So LPS might contribute to metabolic syndrome, gut dysbiosis to cancer, and an imbalanced gut microbiome to IBD.
It seems like there's a common thread here.
Yeah. Inflammation.
Inflammation fueled by disruptions in our gut.
You got it.
And the more we learn about this, the more we realize how important it is to have a healthy gut.
This has been so eye-opening.
Me too.
I feel like I'm seeing the body in a whole new way.
Yeah.
Understanding that our health is tied to this ecosystem within us.
And the paper you sent over.
Yeah.
It highlights a specific bacterium.
Oh, right.
Faecalibacterium prausnitzii.
That one.
It's shown potential in promoting gut health.
Okay.
Particularly because of its anti-inflammatory effects.
Oh, yeah. Faecalibacterium prausnitzii.
Yeah, Faecalibacterium prausnitzii.
Our butyrate-producing superstar.
That's right.
And this brings us to an exciting area of research.
Okay.
What if we could use bacteria like that?
To develop personalized probiotic therapies.
That would be
it. It would be like precision medicine for your gut.
I love that.
Imagine being able to analyze someone's gut and then recommend specific probiotics or diet changes just for them.
That would be revolutionary.
It would.
It seems like the future of gut health is really promising.
It is.
But in the meantime, what can we do today to take care of our gut?
Well, like we talked about, diet is important.
Right.
Shifting towards a more plant-based diet that's rich in fiber can encourage the growth of those beneficial bacteria.
Like the ones that produce butyrate.
Exactly. So focus on eating a diverse range of plant-based foods.
Variety is key.
Yes. It provides lots of nutrients for your gut microbes.
So we're creating a diverse ecosystem.
Exactly. Like a multicultural society in your gut.
I like that.
Now, besides diet,
yeah.
Be mindful of antibiotic use.
Right.
They're important sometimes.
Sure.
But overuse can disrupt the balance.
So talk to your doctor.
Yes. About whether antibiotics are really necessary.
And if you do need them,
mm-hmm.
talk to your doctor about how to support gut health.
Exactly. Things like probiotics or fermented food.
For replenishing the good bacteria.
Yeah. But with so many probiotics out there,
right.
it's hard to know which ones are right.
I agree.
Different strains have different effects.
Okay.
And research is ongoing.
So talk to your doctor.
Yes. To find the right one for you.
No one-size-fits-all approach.
Nope. And beyond diet and antibiotics,
mm-hmm.
there are other lifestyle factors.
Oh,
like stress management and sleep.
Stress and sleep.
Those pillars of well-being.
They're important for everything.
Their chronic stress can disrupt the balance.
Really?
And poor sleep can, too.
So taking care of ourselves is good for our gut, too.
It all comes back to that.
It's all connected.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive.
Wow, what a journey.
It was.
We learned how our gut microbes influence our immune system.
Yes.
How they contribute to inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And how they play a role in things like metabolic syndrome, cancer, and IBD.
It's fascinating.
And we learned that we have the power to shape our gut.
Through our choices.
That's empowering.
It is. And as research continues,
yeah.
we'll learn even more.
I can't wait.
Me neither.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time for another exploration into the world of research.